everyone, and welcome to this week's Boat Briefing. My name is Charlotte Hogarth-Jones, and here with me to navigate through all the news from the world of super yachting is Cecile Gower.
Hi, Charlotte.
Hi. Cecile, I was going to say you're currently in the States. Are you in the States or are you halfway across the world right now?
No, I am in home in Florida, although you can tell because it's kind of chilly, but yes.
Yeah, so you're in Florida now.
Yes.
But soon, in just a few days' time, we'll be reunited in Kitzbühel with lots of you all ready for the Super Yacht Design Festival, wearing our snow boots, eating a schnitzel, getting in the mood of things.
Yeah, that sounds really terrific. I love time in the mountains. I miss those things. Florida is awfully flat.
Yeah, very different environments. Looking forward to catching up then. But we are sneakily recording this ahead of time. By the time you will listen to this, you'll already know who has won the Boat Design and Innovation Award winners, which we'll be announcing during the festival. But we're going to record this now so that we can catch up with you all in person while we're in town.
That's right. It's a bit of a whiplash thing that, you know, we will have a terrific time. Here we go.
So I thought maybe we can start by, if you can talk us, Cecile, through the BDAs kind of in brief, because I know that, you know, people quite often ask how it's different to the World Super Yacht Awards, and I know there's sometimes a bit of confusion between the two, and you've been working on the program since its beginnings, right?
No, gracious, no. I'm not. A few years now, but no, this award is actually been around for quite some time. So to give a little bit of history and not bore people too much, but so basically the Boat Design Innovation Awards, as we call them now, BDA, was born 7 years ago when Boat International Media, the owners of the publication and the events, decided to change the name of one of the magazines they own, which was a US-based Showboats magazine. Showboats, the magazine, came with a very well-established design award program, which was called the Showboats Design Awards. I think it started somewhere in the late 80s, but possibly 1990, something like that. So very well-established award. But naturally, by the time Boat International changed the name to the magazine, then Showboats Design Award had to be renamed. So anyway, it became known as the Boat International Design and Innovation Awards, with emphasis on innovation also. So basically, that's BDA and how long it's been around. Mm-hmm. And it's different to the World Super Yacht Awards because basically it was instituted as a design award looking at different aspects of the design of the boat, including the very fundamental aspect of naval architecture. The BDA has several categories of naval architecture, as you know, Charlotte, but perhaps yes, our listeners do not know, which the World Super Yacht Awards does not have, for example.
We should say, I feel like I didn't introduce this properly by saying both Cecile and I are co-chairs of the Design and Innovation Awards, hence why we both know quite a bit about it.
That's right. That's right. No, I just geek around and read about awards program all day long. So that's one difference. Also, there's a couple of categories that don't exist, naval architecture. And also the Boat Design Innovation Awards looks at tenders, which we believe are a very important part of the yachting experience. And hence the boats deserve to be looked at. Because if you have a beautiful boat, but you anchored very far off and you cannot reach shore, that can be safely, possibly very stylishly, that could be a problem. Yeah. So that's another difference with World Super Yacht, where we do have a tender category. So,
and there were so many of them this year, weren't there? I mean, yes, there was so many to choose from, and such beautifully designed things. They definitely deserve some recognition.
I mean, gorgeous. Gosh, I would own one of those if I could.
Yeah.
Just a tenor.
It has the kind of James Bond feel about it, kind of whizzing across in a little boat like that.
Oh, yeah. The craftsmanship on these boats are pretty incredible.
And then talk us through the judges for this and how that works.
Right. Well, we have a group of design professional, essentially, from different backgrounds. Well, not just design professional. We have also industry professionals like Supriya Captain among our midst. And I am so grateful to these people because they're very busy, very knowledgeable, but they give us so much time. They're entirely volunteer and completely independent. We do not influence their decision. And they spend quite a bit of time looking at the boats when we can, definitely going over the entries that are submitted, which are so very important. I cannot say that enough to people entering the awards. Those entries make a whole lot of difference. So they go through all of that, and it takes quite a bit of their time. So they bring different experience and knowledge to the panel, which makes it so exciting to go through the boat as a group, because everybody has a different take on things. We have, for example, somebody very knowledgeable in lighting, somebody in the fine art of furniture making, what else, materials, decor, obviously. We have a couple of naval architects, as we've mentioned. We have people who have built tenders, so, and captains, so they will look at accesses on the boats, tender launch operation, and this kind of stuff. So it's a very diverse group of people with a lot of knowledge all together.
Yeah, well, I certainly enjoyed hearing from all of them. And they're all, like you say, kind of true experts in their field. And there was some lively debates going on. But does this, you know, this year's competition, was that particularly different to, you know, it's the first year I've done it. Did it stand out to you compared to previous years? Was anything different?
Well, we had a new category this year. That was the biggest difference. We pretty much approach it the same way we always did, by working very, very hard at the boat shows and then pouring over many, many, many pages of material submitted to us. But this year we did try to introduce a multi-hull category. We've been talking about that for a while. And there is a big builder that has been doing catamarans for many years, but, you know, kind of on the super yacht side of things. That's what they aspire to, attracting people who might go for a traditional monohull yacht, but decide to go over to a multi-hull for different reasons, a lot of time for space, but increasingly so because of, I guess, efficiency. The problem is most of these multi-hull fail below the length minimum that the Boat Design Innovation Awards look at, which is 24-meter hull length. But we gave it a try because there was so much stuff going on in that sector. We thought it was time to look at it. And so we look not only at length, but also a combination of length and gross tonnage here. So that was year one. We didn't have quite as many entries as we expected, I guess, but I guess, you know, I was happy. It's a start. Let's see where it goes.
Yeah, completely. It's kind of setting the wheels in motion, isn't it? And
yeah,
there were other categories that were really kind of hotly contended, right? And very difficult decisions.
Definitely. I think one of the toughest ones is always interior design and exterior design in the smaller categories. We go by length for exterior design, and we go by gross tonnage for interior design. And in the smaller sizes of boats, the competition is really, really hard. We have a lot of entries. A lot of them are very good. It's just very difficult for that category to just, for a boat to just stand out, I think. What are you feeling on that?
Well, yeah, completely. I think at the smaller end of the market, it's so difficult because you're trying to make the same impact as much bigger boats, boats with much bigger budgets, with much more space to play with. You know, it's all very well to do these kind of amazing, innovative spaces when you're less preoccupied with storage and access and trying to fit a lot of things into a small area. So I think it's even more of a skill, really, to make these boats the wonderful things they are. But a couple of categories surprised me, but I realized looking at this, it'll be a bit of a spoiler if I say it before we've said the winners. Maybe we should say the winners, and when we get to the one I was surprised by, I'll pipe up. But yeah, you know, there was so many incredible entries. And sometimes it's very difficult to compare the boat. You know, you're looking at boats with very different styles and very different, you know, if an owner wants something that maybe we consider to be, you know, not our personal style or whatever, but actually the designer meets the brief and fulfills the obligations and does some really clever things. That's, you know, as noteworthy as some of the more show-stopping things that you see going through them.
That's very true. I mean, yes, I mean, it's not just appearance, right? We're not just looking at appearance or even quality, because that should not really enter, because it's a design award. It's not a manufacturer award.
Yeah.
Obviously, if the boat is very badly finished, I suppose it doesn't, it probably leaves a not such a good impression. Not that there's so many of those out there, but it's a design award, really. So, but yes, you're totally right. In the different criteria we ask the judges to look at, enters that. How well does it comply with an owner's brief, which is very important in the custom category particularly. So yes, it does inform their decision in the many ways. I guess what surprised me this year is I can definitely tell that this group of judges that we have this year, who are now quite established. We have been with the same group more or less for a few years, and they work really well together. But they definitely are glomming onto innovation. If they see something innovative, they just, you know, really glom onto it. They really want to see this. By the same token, we've had winners that are perfectly well-designed boats, attractive, but not particularly innovative. So it's a fine balance between throwing something out there that is super innovative, that, yes, may grab attention, but they also want the design to respect, I don't know, the canons of beauty, for example, whatever they may be for a yacht, it has to be attractive.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting balance that we walk there.
Yeah, it's difficult. But I think we have got some great winners. And certainly if you haven't heard of these boats or you don't know much about them, they're all worth looking up and taking a look at because they're all kind of noteworthy, I'd say. Shall we read some winners out?
I guess we should.
It's like being at the Oscars, or I feel like this is where your kind of American heritage is going to stand you in good stead.
I don't think they would leave me anywhere close to the stage at the Oscars, but okay.
Well, here at the BDAs, you are center stage.
Absolutely.
The Oscars of the super yacht world. Why don't you kick us off?
Sure. So we will start with the outstanding exterior design in the motor yacht category of yachts between 24 meters to 41.9 meters. And the winning yacht is Telly. So Telly, T-E-L-L-I, is a 38.8-meter custom line Navetta 38. And it won by a fairly narrow margin, but it did impress the judges with its clever use of exterior space, including an innovative forward deck lounge and an expandable swing platform, which means, of course, you can get all this acreage by the water.
Wonderful. Okay, well, next up in exterior design, outstanding exterior design, in the category motor yachts, 42 meters to 51.9 meters, the winner was San. This is a yacht, a 45-meter by Alia yacht. It took the top spot with its minimalist and sleek exterior, which everyone absolutely loved, including me. The judges praised the yacht's large windows and terrace-style transom, which gives clear sight lines from the stern to the bow.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting one. When you step on board from the transom, you see all the way forward. Different take on the motor yacht for sure. Next, still in exterior design, we'll go to the category of larger boats, the motor yachts between 52 meters to 69.9 meters. And the winning yacht is Santosha, which is a 57-meter Hissen yacht. And it impressed the judges with its clean surfaces and a low-profile superstructure that maximizes its elegance.
Wow. Okay. Well, I've got the honor of the last yacht in the exterior design category, in the biggest category, motor yacht, 70 meters and above. Probably no surprises here. The winning yacht was Kismet. This is the 122-meter Lursen that stole all the shows in Monaco, huge lines of people trying to get on board. The judges admired the helipad turned sports court on the bow and the eye-catching mast, which is inspired by ocean liners.
Yeah, love that mast on that boat. It's quite impressive, in my opinion, for that boat to be so large and yet so graceful.
Yeah, definitely. It's very kind of elegant.
Well, now on to some sailing yachts, and I'm very excited. The first one is the outstanding exterior design, and the winning yacht is Raven. Raven is a Baltic yacht, 34 meters in length. It captivated the judges with its innovative foiling arms and supercar-inspired styling. Designed for both high performance and luxury, the yacht's unique center cockpit, which is called the bird's nest, just for that I love it, offers an immersive experience for guests without compromising functionality.
I love this yacht. Very worthy winner, in my opinion. And you'll hear more about the bird's nest later on.
Will we now?
Well, hint, cough, hint. Okay, moving on to interior design. Back at the smaller end of the scale for best interior design of motor yachts, 499 gross tons and below, 24 meters to 39.9 meters. The winning yacht is Telly.
Ah.
Obviously, Telly won earlier on the exterior design, while her interior also impressed the judges. It was super cohesive and refined with a neutral palette and subtle details kind of flowing through the boat throughout. Lots of soft, inviting colors and reflective surfaces, which made it feel luxurious yet comfortable on board.
Yeah, nice one. So the next category is still in interior design, still for motor yachts under 499 GT, but 40 meters and above in length. And the winning yacht here is King Benji. King Benji's got quite a reputation already. This is a 46.7 meter Danya yacht, which won for its characterful interior, featuring playful wallpaper and reclaimed timbers designed to age gracefully. The judges appreciated the bold design choices and the smart use of space, particularly in the informal dining area adjacent to the galley.
Love that yacht. So characterful and fun and definitely one of a kind on the market at the moment, on the charter market. Another boat that I absolutely love won the next category. So that's another interior design for this time motor yachts 500 GT and above. And the winner was Casper 7. This is Benetti's 67 meter, which won for its art gallery inspired interiors, featuring unique pieces that blend seamlessly with the yacht's design. Judges were particularly impressed by the creative window framing. This was really clever. If you haven't seen it, you should try and look it up. It kind of transforms the round portholes into really elegant oval shapes inside. And a very fun and joyful boat to be on board, having been on board myself.
I agree. It's like looking at the world through rosy glasses in there.
Yes, yeah. It reminds me of a toy in a lot of ways. And yeah, everyone loved that one.
Yeah, it was very popular for sure among the judges. Next to best interior design in sailing yachts. And the winning yachts this time is Raven, the 34-meter sailing yacht from Baltic Yachts that we just discussed, wowed the judges with its balance of high-tech materials and artisanal finishes. The use of rattan and carbon fiber together created a stylish yet lightweight interior that maintained the yacht's high-performance focus.
It was a very sporty-looking boat, that one, but super cool. I really liked that interior as well. Okay, moving on to naval architecture, as you mentioned, kind of unique to the BDAs and super important. So the winner of Best Naval Architecture for Displacement Motor Yachts was Casper 7 again. Not only did the judges love its interiors, but they were impressed by its refined hydrodynamics and sleek contours, which balanced technical performance with visual appeal. And the judges also noted its efficient hull design was a key factor in securing the win.
Very nice. So the best naval architecture still, this time for semi-displacement or planing motor yachts, went to Special One. This is Royal Husband's 52-meter Sportfisher, which excelled with impressive performance, including rapid acceleration and tight turning capabilities. Or so does our Naval Architecture Committee tells us. I'd like to say that they crunch the numbers and look at a lot of different things. They don't just pick this one out of the air.
Amazing. Well, that's an incredibly unique yacht, Special One. And they clearly have achieved some amazing things with that. Lastly, in the naval architecture category, we have best naval architecture for sailing yachts. No surprises here. Perhaps the winner is, again, Raven.
Wow.
The judges were amazed by Raven's advanced foiling technology, which incorporates canting T-foils for optimal stability and speed. Raven's team, I can't wait to see them. Obviously we're recording this ahead of time, but that's a clean sweep for them pretty much. I hope they'll be celebrating tonight while this goes live.
Right. Yeah, there will be three. Well, yeah, three awards. That's something to celebrate. That suitcase is going to be mighty full.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So next award, we'll go on to best new series, which is looking at yachts that are in a semi-production model. In other words, it's more than just one. The yard designs them with the purpose of creating many. The winning yacht in this category is Cantiere della Marche, the Flexplore 146. This Explore Yacht series stood out for its versatility, offering owners extensive customization options, which is quite important, even if it's a semi-series yacht. The judges appreciated the blend of long-range capability with luxurious living spaces.
I'm sure that's going to be a super successful series. We're looking forward to seeing how that one goes.
Very interesting.
Absolutely. Then we have the category you were talking about at the beginning, multi-hull of the year.
Right.
Brand new for this year. And the winning yacht is Art Explorer. This is the 46.5 meter Perini Navi sailing catamaran, which impressed judges with its dual purpose design as both a floating art gallery and a charter yacht. And its stylish curved features and modern interiors helped it to secure victory.
Yeah.
First ever multi-hull of the year.
Yes, it is. And I must say, it's quite an amazing one. Difficult not to pick this motor yacht out. It's quite different.
Yeah, definitely.
Next, we are going to our Eco Award. And the winning yacht is Dreamcatcher, which is a lovely 26.5 meter Nordersvan. And it won for its innovative hybrid electric propulsion system that enables silent motoring and onboard energy regeneration. Judges praise its self-sufficient capabilities.
Now we're moving on to outstanding lifestyle feature.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. Tricky category to judge. There was lots of discussion around this one, I remember, especially towards the end of the day. No one wanted to let it go. So it went back and forth around various different yachts. Anyway, the winning yacht for outstanding lifestyle feature is Kismet. The 122 meter Lersen was awarded for its extravagant spa and wellness area. It's truly amazing if you've been on board. It includes a cryogenic chamber, a chromotherapy bathtub, and themed relaxation zones. But that doesn't really do it justice. It's just the most incredible kind of fantasy escape where they've done an amazing job of including some super high tech and innovative new therapies, new developments, whatever you want to call them, while making them very beautifully designed.
Yeah, it's an incredible space. Of course, they have a little bit of acreage to play with on that boat, but still remarkable, just absolutely beautiful. Yeah, it's like a trip in time. It's amazing. And now on to the innovation of the year. The winning yacht is Raven.
Raven again, but this one's well-deserved, I think. Well, I mean, they're all well-deserved, but this is for a very key part of Raven.
Yes, so another one for our friends at Baltic Yachts, and the awards went to the Bird's Nest we just mentioned earlier, which is a guest cockpit treated in a very different way. It combines function and aesthetics while enhancing the sailing experience. Well, that's what the judges says, but I'm going to have to try it for myself. Yeah. If anybody out there is listening, Raven, I want to experience the Bird's Nest.
They're not going to have space. It's going to be full of awards. It'll be rattling around in there.
True.
No room. Now moving on to the tenders. As Cecile mentioned, there was a tenders committee who did a really thorough review of all the entries and advised the judges on which tenders they thought most technologically impressive. So tenders were split into two categories, limousine and open. And the winner of limousine tender of the year is Project KD. Mm. This is from Falcon Tenders. It's 9.7 meters and it won for its ergonomic design, its luxurious interior and its high quality build.
Yeah, the judges appreciated the Seakeeper stabilizer for added comfort. Wow, a Seakeeper and a tender. Why not?
Yeah, it certainly looked super glamorous. It's a beautiful boat.
Gorgeous. And in the open category, still talking about the tenders, the tender of the year is the Aquila Jet Tender. This 10.5 meter tender is from Compass Tenders, and it won praises for its multifunctionality, stylish design, and beach landing capabilities via a hydraulic bow ramp. I love those bow ramps because I don't like to get my feet wet.
No, wow. It's not an elegant dismount, is it?
No. Definitely not.
I'm now thinking I might have my pronunciation cut out with the next award, but I'm going to do my best. It's always one of my favorite categories when you award so many kind of established designers and amazing industry professionals who've worked in super yachting for years. But we also have the Young Designer of the Year category. And it's great to recognize some new talents as part of this competition. So the Young Designer of the Year for this year is Alexandra Oriskanen, who won with her yacht Zazie. The design won for its intelligent general arrangement and elegant integration of scientific research capabilities within an 80-meter explorer yacht concept.
Very nice. I can't wait to meet this Young Designer of the Year. Hopefully she can make it to the awards. I'm not sure, but hopefully I have met her.
Yeah.
And now on to another very nice award. And this one looks at a lifetime contribution to the world of yachting. And this year is a little bit of a different choice for us, but love it. The Lifetime Achievement Award winner this year is none other than Marilyn Mauer, who some of our listeners may know, maybe some don't. She's not a designer, but she's dedicating a very long career in writing about, reporting on, and helping move forward the world of design on super yachts.
I mean, I can't imagine anyone working in the industry won't have come across Marilyn. She's one of those people who's so incredibly well connected, and her depth of knowledge never ceases to amaze me. She knows more about superyachts than probably anyone I've ever met in my life ever, and continues to know more about superyachts than anyone. And like you say, she's always at the forefront championing innovation, sustainability, thinking about the function of things as well as the form. And obviously, she's one of the BDA judges as well.
Yes.
But I know you've worked with her, you know, for many more years than I have. And I wondered, what are your kind of fondest memories of working with her over the years?
I think maybe the travels we've actually done together, going to awards or coming back from events with boat. We've actually traveled together because we both live in the United States, and she's moved now, but she used to live in Florida. So we tried to time our trips, and we would probably try to add one day or two to each destination so we could discover a little bit more of the destination each time. And she's a great travel companion. Really enjoyed those. But on the work side, obviously, as you said, she's a very keen mind, and she's got deep knowledge and endless curiosity. She's told me before she might have wanted to work for NASA. And I do believe she might have been a fine rocket scientist.
Yeah, if
she had been given the chance.
She's one of those people I always love. She always has a question whenever I've been in a room with her, whether it was a press presentation or a boat tour or something we're working on internally. She always says, I've just got one question. And she normally has about four questions, and they're normally really good questions that I never would have thought of myself. So I hope she's pleased to receive this.
Yes, I hope so. I'm sure she is. And she's been a very big contributor to the world of design in yachts, not by designing yachts, but yes, by creating books that looked at designs, by being a co-chair of this award for many, many years, and this year by being a judge herself.
And was there anything, hopefully she'll be surprised by this, or maybe she won't be, who knows, we'll see. But was there any surprises for you about the awards, this aside?
Not a tremendous amount. I was not too surprised with the judges' choices this year. I might have been slightly disappointed at one of the electric tenders that were coming from a small company in Washington State in the U.S., which was built for a really big Fed ship, did not score higher. But the competition in the tenders is really tough. And I think since the committee is led by a captain and someone who has built tenders, the practicality and comfort aspects are a very big deal, perhaps over new technology. I suppose they're looking also for the reliability. And this is a very innovative electric tender. I don't know, maybe in the future we have to look at creating an electric category. Maybe it's time.
Yeah, we did talk about that a lot. And there were some, some electric entries that were really interesting.
I think it's very challenging to evaluate a very lightweight, fast electric tender against, very sophisticated, very well-performing, very luxurious limo tender. So,
next year.
Maybe. How about you? Any surprises for you?
A bit like you, not so much, in that most of the, even though there were some debates around things, most of the winners were ones I would have, backed myself. Not that we have a say on it, but, they were all worthy in my opinion. Like you, I think those kind of smaller interior design categories are very tough, particularly that kind of 24 to 39.9 meter interior design. There were some other yachts there that I liked and, I think would have been equally deserving winners.
Yeah.
But it's they're all great winners, and I hope that they all are pleased to have won and are excited
they will.
By it.
I'm sure they will be happy. I'm sure they are happy. I'm sure they're celebrating right now as we speak.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and there was one other one I wanted to mention, which was just, I was glad that Special One got some recognition, because that was a strange boat to judge in that it entered various different categories, as I recall. And it's such a different yacht that, when you're looking at it side by side to other boats, it's really difficult to kind of judge it. It's always difficult judging these things against each other, but that yacht in particular
was a real... Yeah, it's a sport fish. I mean, I shouldn't say sport fish. It's really a sport yacht fisher is what we call it in the US. It's a yacht that fishes. And and it has a typical, kind of layered look of a yacht fish. And it's a little bit difficult to look at it among different categories of yachts. And always a trickier, but very, very beautifully executed, very well conceived. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that was one in particular. It's always interesting seeing the statements come through with these applications. But the owner's statement from that, you know, the owner clearly had a really specific, quite challenging brief of what they wanted. They want something that was sporty. They wanted something that was practical. They want something that felt luxurious. They wanted something that was accessible. And there was a ton of interesting features and really clever design moments on that boat. So I was glad that she took an award at the end of the day.
Yeah, I was kind of rooting for her in terms of innovation. I think it's the first time I saw a vacuum elevator on a boat, which makes complete sense because there is not as much mechanism around it. So if you have a tight space, it makes sense. And because there is no mechanism in the back of the elevator, you can make it a perfectly clear glass tube, which is not, it doesn't interrupt your vision. So yes, I agree with you. There was quite a lot in that yacht that that was interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Is there any other yachts that you thought were kind of worthy? I know we gave some kind of commendations for boats that narrowly missed out.
Yeah, we did give a couple of judges commendation, and one of them went to one of the smallest of the boats entered this year, which is the Princess S80. And basically, the judges just really appreciate its elegance. It's such a pretty looking, beautiful, sporty looking boat. And I personally saw it, and I don't vote, but I can say I thought it was really exceedingly well done. And we do have somebody who comes from the car design world in among the judges. And I think he was one of the ones that also appreciated the design work on the exterior of that boat.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So nominations open very soon for the 2025 competition. If you're listening, now is your time to really start working on your application rather than leaving it for the week of the boat shows, when you definitely will have to. A warning to your future self: you will not have time to do this application in October.
You absolutely won't.
So if you're listening to this now, you know, be a friend to yourself in the future. Get ahead and start putting it together. But what are your tips for people who are thinking of applying, who haven't applied before, or who aren't sure if they will do for this year?
I'm just the opposite of a romantic. Be prepared to do the work. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to enter an award. I've done it myself. Some of them are more complicated than others. That does require a significant amount of work. You have to convey what you're trying to do. And, you know, a statement that applies to everything that's and everyone doesn't work. You know, if each category should really point out what you had in mind, what this addresses, because, you know, the judges are not mind readers and you don't want them to just jump to their own conclusion too much. You kind of have to provide them with the information. So, yeah, I think it does require some work, but it's worth it, definitely.
And if you do, you might get not one award, but two or three or four, like some of this year's entries. So,
hello, Baltic people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They can't win it all again.
No.
So, yeah, well, good luck. Well done to everyone who won, and thank you as always to all the judges, as you said, that put such a tremendous amount of time and effort into seeing all the boats firsthand and reviewing all the many, many pieces of paperwork and GAs and images and videos. And I've never seen such a colossal and complicated Dropbox folder arrangement. It was like something from the Matrix.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done. We absolutely could not do that without them. No way. And they're such good sport about everything. And we do have some fun too.
Absolutely. And on that note, I mean, hopefully as you're listening to this, you're not at Kitzbühel. Everyone in Kitzbühel is out partying, celebrating their wins, as are we. So there's nothing left to say, I don't think, apart from thanks for listening to this episode of Boat Briefing. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.